Blog Talk Radio.
How's everyone doing? This is your Omi Inka coming into the Oracle Divination Network as well as Omi's production studio. I'm coming on a little bit late, had a little technical difficulty in getting both of my lines up, but nevertheless, I am still here. And this evening, we are going to be talking about, is the debate really over? Is the debate really over for the African Americans? Also, are we still waiting to be included in the economic society? Are we still waiting to be entertained for a reparation? And is the debate over? So, as we contemplate whether or not there are going to be several other meetings that will be going on, we have to even examine the signs of the time, what is going on in the atmosphere, and what is currently happening now. We see a number of things happening with the NFL, with the debate with Jay-Z, and whether or not he did the right thing. We see in the atmosphere a litigation about to occur with Byron Allen, who is in court now, talking about his lawsuit with Comcast. And that is a very important case, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't been following it very close, but for those of you who have, I know you know that there is some connection there between our reparation. That particular case law can be set up as precedent for case law. So we have to watch that case and examine it very closely, because we know Comcast has been getting every African-American to employ themselves to actually take up an actual case with them and hold that all-time internet high. So we know that that case is definitely related to using it for case law for reparations. So we want to watch how things turn out there for Byron and find out what is the next thing that's going to happen, because we might have to go out and rally around Byron and support him. But nevertheless, it's going on in the news. We have a number of things that is going on and it's in turmoil, and if we don't watch it, things will go over our head rather rapidly, and we have to even just be employed to find out what's on and how does that affect African Americans. And right now we know that we have a debate going on. And I don't know if it was a fictitious debate, a debate that was a pretend debate, and we kind of let it die down and nobody's saying anything about what was the outcome of the reparation. Isn't this the 400 years that we spoke of? That by the year 2019, it's over 400 years, that something was going to be addressed for the African Americans on the H.R. 40, where supposedly they had funds that they were going to give to African Americans to exploit or to explain how they felt about the 400-year process. How did it affect them? What did it mean to them? Now, I don't see anybody gearing up to bring any programs to the forefront. We seem to get all steamed up and get all hypered up to only slow down over time. But we got to keep our eyes on those smoke screens, because smoke screens will cause you to think that something was done when they sizzled down. But nevertheless, Black folks, we can't turn our heads for a minute. We've got to stay on the scene like a sex machine, he said, because we have to know what's going on. And more than not, we have more news than we can handle. And some of it being fake news, but we can go on the internet at any time and pull the news up. It's not like wait for the television channel to report. We can go on the internet at any time and get an assessment of what the news is really talking about. We got a serious situation here, ladies and gentlemen, a serious situation where we are not getting informed like we should be informed, and a lot of us are just out there, and we don't know what is going on, and we believe everything that the fake news is saying. But I want to caution you to decipher between the fake news and the real news, because a lot of us are being reporters out here, and we're reporting stuff, and we have to have our facts in order, so when we regurgitate this information, we got to have a reliable source, and not this fake news. But we do know that reparation has been on the table for a while. Now, I want to say something about Obama, because I was one of Obama's ralliers, and I really, truly thought that he was doing something for us or was doing something for us. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was a Black man. And to see a Black man to finally get in office, I wanted to support him. Because at that time, I said I was a Democrat. Did you hear me? I was a Democrat. After watching him in office and seeing that everything that he had, it got voted down. But I got really excited when I thought he was going to go into the prisons to really help our brothers and to really open up the gate cells and let those people go free. But it started, as soon as it sizzled up, it actually died down. Obama had his hands tied and he wasn't able to do anything for the Black folks. And that's unfortunate for him, because now he's running around here as if he was representing the Black race. And everybody said we had our reparations when they gave us Obama. But that is so. Obama did not give us anything to address the Black people like we thought he would, even though we rallied around him and got him the vote and got him in there. It was a sorrowful situation when at the end of his term, we saw that nothing had changed for African Americans. As a matter of fact, unemployment got worse. Prison enrollment got worse. So things did not lift up for Black African American. As a matter of fact, things did not. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just talking here. Okay. Sorry about that, Facebook. I literally was going live here and I didn't realize that you were not on. So we are coming on a little bit late for you, Facebook, but nevertheless, if you are out there, we want you to do follow us and be a part of our show. Now, I've been speaking to my Blog Talk and Blog Talk family. How are you out there? Oh, here we go. Here's our family. LA is in the house. Raymond Anderson, June Williams, how are you? Thank you so much. I had you locked out there, William King. So we'll let you in there, and I wave back at you. Thank you so much for joining me. We were just reflecting back on the debate, and is debate really over for the Democrats legislation about looking at whether or not we are going to get over the greenhouse. Is the debate really over, or has it transpired over to Byron Allen and his new Supreme Court case, the one where he sued Cass? We need to take a close look at that case, ladies and gentlemen. I indicated, how you doing, Angela? We need to take a close look at that case. Does it resemble a prima facie case? Can it be used as case law to represent our case in reparation? We have to look closely. Now, Byron has won quite a few court cases at the lower case, at the lower court. They ruled on his behalf. Now he's going to the Supreme Court. Now we have to follow that case. How you doing, Patrick? Now we have to follow that case very closely. Byron is a millionaire. He is a rich man. He has sued quite a few people and won. Now, there's nobody in the NAACP, nobody that are crying out for Byron to support him, to go and give him the backing. Hello, Cheryl Moore, how are you? And Maurice Pennington. And Patricia, how are you? We need to give him the backing he needs, because he is dealing with something that will prove to be a prima facie case in our reparation case. And we need to look at what, if you have not listened to his platform, please go out and listen to Byron Allen. He is a millionaire, ladies and gentlemen. He owns a couple of stations, and people have forgotten that he sued these establishments and won. So right now he's fighting with Comcast and the higher court. And I want us not to forget about it and let it slip over our head, because there's smoke screens that are being blown up so that we won't pay attention to what's going on in the news. But that's a very serious case, because it has a lot to do with whether can use that case as case law and a prima facie case to use as an example for our reparation. Hello, Philip Duffy and Jermaine Rayford. How are you? I'm coming on a little bit late this evening. I make no apologies. I try to do my speaker today. I only did the Facebook Live, and I am on Blog Talk. So you have to bear with me. I was busy doing Blog Talk, and I noticed I hadn't even had my radio on. You see this caller is? Caller number 708. How are you? Can you tell us what would you like to say? Caller number 708-475-2693. You're in the air. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? If you don't speak up, I cannot hear you. Hold on, let me see. Maybe I may have to do this to be able to hear you. Okay, can you hear me now? Caller number 708-475-2693. You're in the air.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm well. And you?
Yes, I can hear you now. Who am I speaking to?
Hi. Oh, yeah, this is Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing very well. Thank you. And yourself?
Do you want to make a comment or a statement? Can you give us any input about what has currently been going on in the courtroom with the Byron Allen case? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not. It's new to me. I was calling to see if I could listen in to the show.
Okay, you're quite welcome to listen in. If you want to say something, you know, don't hesitate. Just speak out, and I'll let you have the atmosphere. Thank you so much for calling. What is your name again?
It's Daryl.
All right, Daryl. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
We are encouraging you to speak up, and those that are in my Facebook Live, please do call in and let me give you that number so you can call in and you can be a part of the show. We do encourage you to go out and become a follower. Our number here is 760-539-3247. You can call in at any time. We encourage the listening audience to make suggestions, or if you want to co-host and say you want to go into the chat room, then we'll open that up as well. Normally, we have quite a few people in our Facebook Live who cannot speak for some reason. Every now and then, they can write something down. But I want to encourage them to go right over and become a member of our Blog Talk. And you can do that by calling in at 760-539-3247 to talk to me live. But you can go on to the website, blogtalkradio.com/Oracle Divination Network. That is our site. And ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. Hello, Trika, Albert, how are you? This is our 10th anniversary. Hi, Wayne, Katie Hill. And we are going to be doing some special things down the road because we're trying to get these airways all deciphered. I have one airway on speaker where we deal with holistic health and healing. And on Oracle Divination Network, we deal with paranormal situations, spiritual things, things that pertain, things that make you go, And we have reality for the last couple of days. You can go out and listen to our recording on demand. I am your host for the evening, and I am your Omi Inca 7. I'm here to serve you. I am your advisor. I am here to provide for you as an advocate, and I am here to give you the bucket naked truth. And this evening we've been talking about how our situation has changed because we're predicating it on court cases. Now they're trying the whole nation of African Americans, and we're sitting by as if we're in a courtroom monitoring what's going on in a judicial system without having all the tools. Now, I did try to give you a book that you could purchase called Street Law to help you get acquainted with how to represent yourself and be able to do pro se, meaning represent yourself. Read up on the law so that if you ever have to come into a situation where you have to go to court and be tried, you can represent yourself under pro se, but you must ask the court and proceed with a motion to request that you become a person who is a pro se candidate and let the judge give you his approval. But we got a lot of things to think about. We got to think about how are we going to try a nation for and how are we going to use the court system to fight them with their own tools that they created. They keep changing the laws, so you cannot equally go and get their interrogatories or their motions and present them to them because before you know it, they've already changed the laws again. Now, Byron Allen is a very, very intelligent man, and from listening to him in his discourse, he expresses himself very well. He is too fed up. His politeness has worn out. They have worn that man out. He is not tolerating any more foolishness. They are not about to drain him of all of his money by dragging him through court cases and letting the court eat his money up. They've asked him to go to the Supreme Court, even though he's won at the lower level. They still want him to go into a courtroom to continue on with this court case. Now, we're going to have to back him. We're going to have to make some noise because Byron Allen is not a milquetoast man. However, he is a polite man. Make the mistake of thinking that by him being polite that he's weak. He's going to have to be like Jesus had Aaron that will speak for him when he could not speak. But nevertheless, he's out there right now, and the NAACP is not backing like they're supposed to. The Urban League is not backing like they're supposed to. And all these other good black organizations, where are they when you need them? And when you call on them, I was one of NAACP's Woman of the Year. I did so many cases for them, free of charge, that they made me Woman of the Year in Kenosha, Wisconsin, back in 1994, I think it was. But when I needed them to just take a look at a case, to just support me, to represent me, do you know they turned me down? The Woman of the Year? I had to have a talk. What is this? Is it that you cannot handle a case of this magnitude? They really do have a problem with handling cases that are going to the Supreme Court. They just claim they don't have the staff. But Byron needs them. Byron needs them right now. And I'm making this plea to let NAACP and the Black Caucus and those guys know that this is not a time to be hiding behind this. When Byron is representing a nation here who Comcast has gotten money from all of us, they've been in our pocketbook, and Byron is one of the ones that stood up to them and said, hey, you're not giving us the bids on jobs. You're coming in our neighborhood and you're signing everybody up for Comcast, but you're not giving us any bid for contracts, no government contract. He noticed it. A lot of us keep on paying Comcast, giving them out $200, $300, and not even looking back and say, how many jobs are you putting in our community? How many people are being employed by you? How many government contracts are we getting? Byron peeped their ace in a hole and called them out on it. Now the brother is real, real angry. And that's the bucket neck of truth, y'all. And I know a young man who's a quiet, reserved person gets fed up. He's like a woman when a woman gets fed up. She don't care what she says. Now Byron is pleading to let somebody know. I think Tom Loke is a lawyer, and Tom Loke interviewed Byron. He was amazed to find that this man was a millionaire, had gobs of money, and here he was in court, not afraid by it. And it wasn't his first time in bringing litigation. So I want you guys to know what's going on out there. And don't just sit in your cut laying back eating bonbons watching Jerry Springer. Turn it over to those court cases and follow those cases, because it has something to do with whether or not we bring charges under case law based on the Comcast case. Do we have a case in saying that Comcast has not been paying us our reparation? And that's where we should start at. That's what Byron is saying, that this is where we should start for our reparations. If they owe us anything, let us start right here with Comcast and then go down the list. But nevertheless, we can't stop crying about our reparations. No, we can't. And if anybody out there that don't agree with me, I want to set you straight. It's not all about money. It's about us looking at our legacy. Government funds that will lead to our children. Do you not know that anytime you have a master's degree and you and your husband both are master's degree and you're bringing in somewhere about $100,000 a year, you should have a trust fund and a legacy. But when they rip us off of our biggest asset, our homes, and they take all the equity out of our homes, and they sell our homes for pennies on a dollar, and we don't have a legacy left to leave our children. We don't have anything but a note, but we cannot let Comcast walk in here and snatch up our monies and our dollars when we can go to AT&T, Spectrum. Those are all alternative, but yet we've given Comcast the benefit of the doubt. But have we gotten any contracts? How many of you are licensed out there and certified to do business with the government? Well, let me tell you something. I did a workshop to talk to the men and women that are melanin and rich. You are entitled to go and get licensed, to be certified, to do business with the county, to do business with the state, and to do business with the government. And guess what? You're entitled to get some of those contracts. Have they been knocking on your door? Hey, hey, did you know that you're entitled to get contracts to do business with the county, the state, and the government? Come on in. We can get you certified. No, you don't hear any advertisement, any marketing. But yet, in the white neighborhoods, they're telling you, black woman, going over there. Going over there. You're a double minority. And if you're disabled, you a triple minority. And then we don't even know that the meetings are going on right there at Purdue University in their technical center. We don't know that the meetings are going on to endorse you to get your Dun & Bradstreet number, to get your NIAC number, to get your disability number. These are all the numbers you need in your repertoire for business with the government so that you can go to Comcast and get some of those contracts to do business with the community, which is like a $1 billion business. Comcast is getting filthy rich, and he's not bringing any contracts to your doorstep. I don't think any of your brothers and sisters, hello there, Dean and Nancy, where are you? I don't think Comcast has come to any of your communities and said to you, look, we want to give you a contract. Because, you know, you do business with us and you wash our hands, we wash your hands. No, it's not happening. No, it's not. Now, let me go to the phone lines again. Phone number 708-475-2693. You're in the air. Would you like to speak now? Sir, would you like to say something? Do you have any suggestion or any input? When you want to speak, please let me know. Now, I want to say for the record that when we come on this airwaves, we must be reporting legitimate news that pertains to us. Sometimes we get in so many entangled arguments over other issues that don't even pertain to us. But when something like this, as big as this, pertains to us, we got to follow that news. We got to be about that news. Now, everybody is fussing over Jay-Z and the fact that he went in and he negotiated with the NFL. But at the same time, Kaepernick is not speaking up for himself. His girlfriends are doing all the talking. And yet we want to put him back to work. We got to peep that thing out. What's that all about? How come Kaepernick has now suddenly become quiet, and he's taking the fifth, and he's not saying anything? He has nothing to lose but everything to gain. If he says he's trying to help the African-American race, now is the time to speak up, because maybe, just maybe, he can tip the scale so that we can start the process of reparation with him and his case, too. Look at all those good old boys that play basketball. I know something about sports. I was involved in sports. I know what it did to my family. I saw when the recruiters came to my family how they wanted to own our family. And when they were looking, when the scouts came to recruit one of my brothers, my brother had enough sense to say, you're going to have to give us 2-for-1. You cannot just take me. You got to take one of my sisters, too, because they need college education, too. Now, we got to understand that these headhunters and these scouts have been ripping us off, too, in our community. They've come in our community and taken our most precious love, our most precious asset out of the community. And sometimes they take them and enroll them in a college. And when they are coming to an all-white college and most of the all-white positions on the team for the first starting lineup, it's all taken up So that brother got to sit the bench, even though he's a million-dollar man and people are sorting him out. He sits the bench, all in the name of a political issue where he cannot start. He sits the bench and sits the bench until he can't sit the bench no more. But yet these scouts come in and take our young bucks in their earliest prime, and they take them and don't give them what they're worth. Yes, they give them a little pocket change, and they bring them there to get their education. And sometimes they promise them the world, and they don't get it. Now, these NFL workers out here who recruit our brothers, they work them like stallions. They work them so hard. And then during their prime years, and when they get older, they have nothing else left to give. Then they want a part in the NFL. They want to make an investment. They want to have ownership. They don't offer them any options for ownership. And yet we see them like little boys running up and down the court. And then later on, when they come out of NFL, we find out they're bankrupt. Look at all these entertainers becoming bankrupt in the news. Who's taking their money? Or who is advising them? Our black people can't get rich for turning around and having to file bankrupt. Something is wrong with that picture, people. Something is very wrong. That means that when they get to a point where they can hire an advisor, a financial advisor to take care of their money, why is it that they are getting dirt poor and having to file bankrupt? Is someone stealing from them? Are they cheating them? Or what is the case? We've got to stay on top of it, because now we have all these NFL players who won't stick together and say, okay, Kathleen, we all going to stand together and we won't go back in the gymnasium and play a game until they bring you back to work. They can't stick together like that because it's a good old boy show. But nevertheless, we got young boys going off to college to play ball, and these scouts are taking them out of our community, out of our midst, and they're taking that income with them. Those black boys don't come back home and bring that income once they go pro. They don't bring that income back to our communities. Why is that? Why is the money funneled off into some white neighborhood and they're paired up with some non-Melanite young lady to marry? It seems to me it's a whole plotting scheme, and somebody needs to go and bust that whole situation wide open, because they're stealing from the black community. Yes, our black brothers may have made it and they're going to the pro, but they're only going to the pro to line other communities' pockets and not their own. Now we got Tabernacle is up here crying the blues about he wants to support black people and he wants to be behind us for injustice. Now, we don't hear him saying anything. We can't get him to speak out. Has anybody gone to him and said, you better not speak out? We got too many games being played here. It looks like one person is for the black race and ready to support them. And when somebody puts a dollar on the table, the cards are changed. Why is it that we could be bought out all the time with a nickel or a dime? We cannot find any true soldiers that stand out front and really mean it. Now, I thought Tabernacle was a true soldier. I'm second guessing him now. His girlfriend is doing all the talking. I haven't heard anything else from him. Why won't he stand up and say the injustice is still going on? And before I go back to work for anybody, the injustice has to stop. Why don't he plead on those pretenses? It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we stay on top of all of this. There's contracts being signed for the NFL, and there's contracts being signed for the Comcast work and industry. And a lot of us are not certified, and we don't have our license. All they have to do is say, well, you're not certified. You can't get no Comcast contracts. Well, then tell us where to go to prepare ourselves to be certified. Don't just take all the contracts and give them out to people in your neighborhood. Because when the husband and wife go together to get certified, they're a triple minority. They want to give so many million-dollar contracts to blacks, and especially women. So if a man go along with you, a woman is a double minority, and that black man is a minority too. So they become a triple minority when they're going after contracts. But we have to keep in mind that if we don't go to these meetings and find out how to get this piece of paper up front of us, it's like getting the ABCs and alphabets behind your name. And I didn't say nothing about no degree, because see, they fool us and make us think we gotta have a degree, but yet they run in there and they get those certifications and they got NAN degree, and their certification is worth more than any of our industrial bachelor of business degree. And most of those individuals who are Caucasian who have never gone to college, their high school diploma is worth more than our bachelor's degree. And they're usually making more money than we are. But we got to get this thing together. We cannot be sleeping on this one. We have got to get this together. And when will we? When will we? I'm going to go to the phone lines and phone number 864-347-2244. You're on the line. Number 864-340-7244. You're on the line. Who am I speaking to?
This is Equanee. How are you?
I am fine. I couldn't hear your name. Could you speak just a little louder?
Equanee.
Okay. Did you have any comments that you would like to make on the topic that we're discussing this evening? You have any input for us?
And I'm thinking you're speaking about the NFL issue.
Yes.
In particular, well, I think us as black, as African people, we have not only given much attention to them, but also to the NBA. Also, a lot of these sports organizations we have given ourselves to, whether it be athletes and also viewers. And I think these situations are only highlighting a bigger picture on, what's going on in America. And that is the place that a lot of us as black people work for. And in the case, NFL players, NBA players, they are doing the same. And what I found is a lot of black people are definitely going to go along to get along. So they aren't trying to miss their, next check, nor are they trying to, skip a beat when it comes down to being able to try to provide for their family. So when you're thinking about the path of the revolutionary, this is the importance of, understanding the revolutionary and understanding how it is important in getting a lot of our problems solved, and how, not only in America, but also in Africa, also, many places abroad, many people have fixed problems by, having a revolution. So, and also when we're looking at Colin Kaepernick, I definitely, look at him in a place where, he's appointed by George Soros, and George Soros is a very, very despicable guy. He's in with, the despicable crew. He even has his affiliation with Jeffrey Epstein and, Bill Clinton and, a lot of those people. So I think it's very important to actually see, the money, look at the money trail, watching where a lot of people are actually coming from, the organizations, the people that are behind them, to see what is really genuinely good for us as an African, as a black people. Because if we're not careful, we have just somebody else coming into us, into our community, like a wolf in sheep's clothing, and we'll wind up just, you know, believing that, you know, everything that they're giving us or trying to feed.
You're so right, sir. I do concur with you on that. And the real problem is that when we do have, young people that actually are getting ready to take the baton to a next level, and they can be leaders in our community, we see them being taken out of our community and planted off into the urban setting and then given a wife and setting them up completely and taking their resources with them. That's one of the things that we must speak to our athletes about. I came from a home that had many athletes in it, and my brother was recruited to go to Michigan, Western Michigan. And when he went to Western Michigan, he was one of the top recruits. But going to a predominantly white school, sometimes they have to sit you on the bench and you don't get played as much as you should, yet being one of the top recruits. And then at the same time, they rob you of that opportunity to go straight into the NFL by dragging you into a court and sitting you there and not playing you. So we have that problem going on. And then we have these young boys who they're buying and they're giving them gifts and they're bringing them into the NFL and they own them. It's almost like another slave trade. These people are being bought like slaves. And those funds that they make, the master. And that's a problem, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you think
there's
that's a problem?
That actually, yeah, absolutely. There's a brother that came up with the, he had a book, NCAA Slave, I think was the name of the book, where he actually had, you know, gone really in-depth and was able to bring an in-depth look on how a lot of those athletes in which you're speaking of are the ones that are targeted and, you know, in a lot of cases that are slaved. You know, there are so many of those guys that do work hard for a lot of those college teams, and I think that's the place where you want to look at, is because a lot of those athletes, you know, they don't get paid. You know, they could get injured, get bodily harm done to them. But like you're saying, they're just looked at as a number. I used to be an athlete, and you had certain dynamics in the school system, and certain things played out as even they do in, you know, the world where things aren't fair for us. And a lot of times it is something that propels who the European is and one that looks at capitalism. So we, you know, it's not surprising that a lot of these young cats, and they're meeting, you know, the likes of the entertainers. So they're coming in with a certain social status, Facebook, Twitter, and they have to be doing a certain thing, having on $15,000 shades or, you know, $1,000 belt or whatever it is that they're spending their money on. These are the same things that will get them in a situation where they don't have any money anymore. And a lot of times what we have found in study and research is that the Jews, the brother Irritated Genie, he calls them the small ass, but they are the agents a lot of times. We do know that the commissioners are, you know, Jewish or Jewish related. You know, a lot of times they're Jews. Jews are the owners and things of that nature. The higher ups, the ones that control this infrastructure, are Jews. So when you're seeing the agents, those are the ones that are encouraging these young boys to go out and buy this. And you have to get this in order to, you know, look right, or you might want to go get you a Lamborghini because everybody else is, you know, getting these voices are in these young guys' ears, and they're very excited, very, you know, naive a lot of times, young men coming from a single parent home and not downing a single parent home. But I'm a one that comes from that background. A lot of times mama can't do everything. So you don't really come to that situation where you are equipped. So you have a high level of naivety and not being able to perceive things. So you'll wind up spending your money on all types of crazy things rather than being urged or coerced to going to save your money or you need to save your money.
Well, I don't know if you can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me, brother? Okay. I don't know if you have seen this or not, but it is indicative to the military. A lot of the older military got smart, and they laid down the law that they wanted to develop a portfolio, to make investments, to have some ascertained bonds and stocks. And literally, that group of people got together and they mandated if they get some stocks and some bonds and be able to have some 401ks and know how to roll their money over into IRAs. So they, a lot of them, I had a chance to chat with them, and a number of them had their portfolios rolled out and they were set. So when they made that transition to leave the military, they had something to live off of. However, whoever's advising these athletes, they don't have a disability plan in the event that they get hurt, to set up a policy for short-term or long-term. And it seems like as soon as they get out of commission, they've lost. I mean, there is no package put together, a portfolio of anything, and yet these people say they're looking out for these young people. And these mothers from the hood, they don't know anything about investments for their sons. And their sons come out, they're wounded, they no longer can perform, and they're just, you know, coming back to the community, working at the Boys and Girls Club, and not being able to go overseas. A lot of them should probably go straight overseas to take a contract and forget a lot of the NFL and everything that's going on here in the state and go ahead and play professional overseas. And that way they become a member of an organization that gives them benefits, so that in the event that they're hurt, it's like a job. They have a benefit that will pay off. And that's what I'm just curious as why they're not speaking about this to these athletes. Do you know anything about that? Can you hear me? Hello? I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I think I dropped off. I'm sorry.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
You're in the
atmosphere,
sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Okay,
yes,
I wasn't
ma'am.
Sure. I kept taking my earphones off and on. All right. I was saying, did you hear what I said about them not having a policy for short-term or long-term disabilities? Are you familiar with them having portfolios?
Are you meaning either one of the athletes that I was speaking about?
Well, I mean, you know, any of them. Do they sit down with them? I'm going to help you get a financial planner, and we're going to set these things up for you. Have you heard them talk or say anything?
You don't really. I'm pretty sure there are those ones that probably don't need one to sit down with them, and there are probably situations where they may be presented, but I'm going to say that the system is more a system in which it feeds off the a lot of times the frail mentality of young naive black boys and young naive black girls, and also us as adults. And you know, us, we are the biggest consumers as black people. So the system is always going to be set up in a way where it's trying to hustle us and get over on us rather than you know, compensating us well. So I think, you know, even with the dynamics in which it either of the two or whatever is presented, lacking the proper knowledge to understand the importance of getting a financial advisor or, you know, having that type of thing around. Like even in the case where R. Kelly had the, you know, recently he had an interview and he was talking about, you know, how he had never basically looked at his money and, you know, he had paid other people to look at it. And when he finally did, you know, look into his accounts and go into the bank for the first time, he only had $300,000+. So, you know, this may be.
Now, excuse me, brother. Now, I heard that. I remember him saying that. Here's what I didn't understand. They kept saying he was illiterate, but can you hear me okay? Me?
Okay. I can't.
Can you hear me? Oh, you can?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, then. I was saying that if everybody knew R. Kelly was an illiterate, why didn't they bring somebody on board that was a linguistic that could help that boy learn how to speak many languages and read many languages as well as write, at least enough to be able to read, you know, paragraphs and contracts and stuff like that? They kept him in the dark for their own personal selfish reasons, and they didn't go and do anything to develop his attributes so that he could continue to allow them to feed off him. He was just a feeder. He was a cow calf, and they were using him for that. And even the mothers and fathers were doing that, and they felt that as long as he was paying for their daughters, they were prostituting their own daughters. And then when the money fell short and they couldn't go back anymore to get money, that's when they start crying wolf. So you can see all of that was a setup. And then you get a lawyer to come in to represent them that has cases who done caught a case himself. So how stupid can this whole thing get? Watching this saying, no, this is a mistrial. You cannot have all this falsification, people lying, mothers and fathers coming in there trying to set up their own establishment off this man's bankroll. And he's still crying out saying, you know, they're lying, they're lying. And at this particular point, they're saying, well, man, how come you didn't learn to read? So they're faulting him for not learning to read. I fault him for that, too. That's the only thing he's guilty of, for not educating himself. But it seems awfully stupid for all the world to tack themselves onto this case law and said he abused me, too. I mean, my goodness, the man must have all kinds of people on his staff and his payroll. Then they all are guilty if that's the case. How this case is going to pan out. They're not trying R. Kelly. They're trying the nation of black men. They're trying to paint the face of black men as being these men that are involved in trafficking, child trafficking, and getting, and he ain't had, and no case has been about him with children, but yet they're doing child talking about molestation, but all these women consented. So how do you take him and crucify him and not do Elvis Presley, all these other men who had young women and who actually lived with them and did the same thing R. Kelly did? There is a discrepancy here where all of these other men have done worse things than he has done, but he's the poster child for station, and they had to have somebody to pin it on. And that's what they're doing. Today's age is less on a black face to pin this stuff on so we can make everyone see that it's the black people doing it and not us. And we see and we know about perversion in the non-Melanite community. We know about it. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are you there? Hello? Hello? All right. We're back. I hope everyone can hear me. How's everyone doing this evening? Caller number 708-475, you're in the air. Hello? Caller number 708, would you like to speak or say something? All right. Anyway, we're going to go to commercial, and we'll be right back in the atmosphere. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. For the benefit of those people that are out there in the atmosphere, if you just want to listen, you can still call in. Please do call in and sign up and become a follower. Don't just become a friend. I need followers. And if you've been on the air as long as I have about 110 people that have followed me for over 10 years consistently, and they've been faithful. And when you've been faithful, when Omi, if Omi let you walk with her now, later on I'll let you run with me. And we're going to be running in this room doing some great things. I don't know if you know that I have decided to put my CD on the market. My book is already out there on Lulu.com, but I'm putting the CD out there. And on the website, I will be giving away some tracks of a couple of my cuts from my spoken word artistry. So hopefully down the road, as a tribe, you'll be able to go to my website to download the, and we're going to have several of the tracks available. One is available now, and the website is almost completed, and we're in the midst of adding our tracks to that website. But nevertheless, I do need to have you to also give me the thumbs up. If you like what you're hearing, give me the thumbs up, as well as become a follower. Some of you have just been following me in this room and following me, and you never thought to go sign up to become a follower. I do need those extra points for you to follow me. So I would like to thank you for following me. If you already are following me, and if you have not, you know what to do. Go and do what you have to do to follow me. And once again, I want you to know that we come on this airway as often as we can to talk amongst ourselves, but it takes two to communicate. So some of you got to go up there on the screen and set yourself up so that you can show up on the screen and talk to the audience. A lot of you in here, I know you can as well, LA, can go up there and talk. And if you would like to go ahead and take the center role, you can go up to the front and talk. And LA is an excellent orator and speaker. He has much to tell us about. LA, is there anything that you would like to say? If it is, please go on up to the front room. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but those of you who have the gift of gab and who can explain yourself well, I would like you to give me a break for a change. How you doing, Dwight Smith? Thanks for joining us. And this is a Sunday evening. I know everybody's laid back and relaxed after eating a hearty meal, but nevertheless, we got issues going on in our community. We got stuff we need to talk about. This is grown folks talk. Can we talk here? There's real things going on in our community. Hello, you, and I see you watching, but I'm tired of all these eyes that are watching. Nobody wants to talk. Who wants to talk in this room? Come on, step right up. Maurice, do you? Cheryl? Jermaine? Philip? Dwayne? Katie? Albert? Let's see who else is this. Dern, Stryker, Israel, Jackie, Mocha, Roosevelt, Richard Jackson, Michael Perry, Dwight Smith. Any of you guys want to talk? You can come on up and say something. We put this show on for you. We bring about a conversation for you. And my blog talk people, I know they will always come on and they will say something. They are family. They've been with me about 10 years. As I said, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary and being on Blog Talk, and that's a long time. Now, the subject that I've been talking about is the court case with Comcast. I'm going to have to get more familiar with that case now that it's going to the Supreme Court. I'm going to have to follow it more and find out what Byron Allen is doing and what is happening with the case. And I suggest you do. I know many of us have Comcast, and many of us have been fighting with them about our bill. Some of us get that bill paid off and swear we're never going to go back to them again. Well, I left them. I divorced that organization, and I left them. There's no way in the world I should have been paying them the kind of money I was paying them. No way. They were in my pocketbook too long, so I left them. And we've got to cut down on our technology. Now they got the G5. So some of us are fluctuating between a G4 and a G5. What's the difference? You're paying more. But yet we got electricity coming through our walls. It's enough to fry anybody. And do you not know that they're fighting? Many organizations are fighting about the meters that are being set up for the electricity and how heavy of electricity it is coming through these walls that will zap us. So there's a lot of referendums that are out there fighting against certain things that could cause us health problems. Nevertheless, they're out there. Let me see what time we have here. Okay, it is 12 midnight, and that is when I turn into a pumpkin. And I want to say, oh, one thing I wanted to report is Mace is back, my buddy Mace, and he's singing Welcome Back, Welcome Back. So go out and listen to Mace's album or his CD. I did put that on my Facebook. It's a nice cut, and the brother is still looking good. And he's singing those songs that will liberate us rather than ones that will incarcerate us. So go out and listen to that. Welcome back to me. Bidgy, farewell. And thank you so much for joining me this evening. You've been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister here on Blog Talk Live Oracle Divination Network. If you are looking for something paranormal, if you're looking for something that makes you go, you can come into our room, because every now and then we bring in a speaker that's talking about metaphysical things to help you stay in contact with your ancestors and to make sure that you are dealing with fetish things. We want you to know your people, and you live in the voodoo and the hoodoo. And if anybody asks you, yes, you are practicing priestesses, because you were called to become a priest. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. You're not looking for another religion, because you carry your religion within your being, and you are the living Episcopal. You are the temple. And don't look for a church. Find the church within you. Thank you so very much for your kind listening audience. And I bid you farewell, and I will see you next week. Redouble to you, y'all. Stay tuned. Good evening. Gentlemen, thank you so much for going all the way with us, and we bid you farewell. And you have been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister, and I thank you so much for joining us and going with us all the way. And I want to say welcome back to Mary's. He's back here on the scene again. Go out and get his CD, his new cut, Welcome Back. And he is a fine young man, and his music is uplifting. So go out. I want to put a ploy in for my brother Mays. Welcome back, Mays, and thank you for the lovely music. You made my day today. Oh, devil, and baba boy to you, y'all. I will see you soon.